Welcome, everybody. It's the Lakeland Sports Guys. I'm Tom Carroll, Chris Cox. We've got Coach Dan Spivey. Going to have a special guest hopefully joining us here. Talk a little Sweet 16 a little later on in the podcast. And we'll introduce our special guest when he gets here. But we've got a lot to talk about, Chris. All kinds of stuff going on, not only in and around the states. Basketball-wise, we had a coach that ended up going, taking a new job at the D1 level. We had baseball games canceled. We had a baseball game that lasted forever with South Carolina and Presbyterian. Who thought the Blue Hose would take South Carolina that deep with that many runs? But I tell you what, anything can happen anytime. And then we had all that rain and it postponed and canceled a bunch of the high school stuff in the process. But there was some high school stuff that did happen this week. So we'll get into that as well.
And they're going to pick up today, I hear. So a lot of ones that did get canceled last night will be moved up to tonight. Permitted weather for me. I think it's supposed to be pretty nice, Dan.
Yeah, and I think it is tonight. It's going for the day. This weekend, yep.
Yeah, so you had mentioned that Greenwood girls softball is going to be
playing tonight.
Playing tonight. I know same with 96 softball is going to be playing tonight. Greenwood High baseball going to be playing tonight as well. They get started at 7 o'clock, as does Emerald. Emerald is actually going to be playing over at Dolney Stadium against Chester at 7 tonight.
That'll be a fun interregion game at the Dolney. So another great place to go watch a game, man. We don't have to worry about any kind of field not draining at Dolney. We know it drains pretty well. So,
well, I wonder if they're doing that because of all the construction they got going on out at Emerald.
It may be. I don't know.
Or, you know, especially with – I'm thinking more from a parking standpoint because, you know, where the baseball field is, a lot of times they'd park people out there around behind the softball field.
Oh, I bet that field
and
is.
So, yeah, and I imagine that's – it's probably a mud pit out there, and they don't want to have to walk from the upper parking lots through the construction area.
That's a good point.
To get to.
Or from one end of campus all the way to the other.
Yeah.
Might be.
Just worked out. Lander didn't have a game tonight.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with all that. We've got a lot to talk about as far as the high school stuff goes. None bigger probably than what happened with Abbeville in 96. Big region win for Abbeville. They outlasted 96 in a very, very good game. 5-4 was the win overall. Of course, the big hero was Hunter Overholt and what he was able to do for the walk-off in the process of all that with the RBI that he had. But, 96 gets another shot at Abbeville. That'll be coming up I think tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
I was thinking today. But
yeah, it's tomorrow.
Okay.
It should be the second half of the series that goes there. But, right now 11-2 overall for Abbeville, and they're kind of the surprise in that region. The other surprise is that 96 has fallen to 3-6 overall.
Start off a really tough schedule for the coach and them out there at 96, so they play a little bit of anybody, everybody type mentality. But like I said, this Abbeville team looks like they're probably going to be for real, so we'll be following them throughout this region in these championships. So really good game. Like I said, I can't wait to see who they pitch. Both teams pitch when they play tonight. You said tomorrow night, right?
Tomorrow night, yeah.
So who's going to be pitching tomorrow night? And like I said, you change venue a little bit and see if it changes the score of the game.
But, yeah, I mean, and this isn't the first close game that Abbeville's been in. They've had some others, so they're winning the tight games like you need to win. But most importantly, they're winning the games at home.
It's clutch hitting, though, man. It's like, you know, the pitcher's pretty good, and then you get a kid like Overholt who comes in. I think it was Overholt that came in last night and had that walk-off single and won the game. So, I mean, it's timely hitting. I think, according to Benji, they're playing a little bit of small ball this year, and I'll always go for the small ball. I like that action. And it's good when the weather's bad and it's cooler out there. Put the ball down, bunny, get these runs around, and score that way.
And that's the other thing. There aren't a lot of teams nowadays that play small ball. I mean, we've seen Emerald do it. We know Abbeville does it. Greenwood can, but they've got such good hitters. They haven't been, they haven't been forced to do anything of that nature. But for the most part, everybody's going and trying to just smash it.
But you're learning, like I said, Tom. This time of year, well, we're. Tomorrow opens a lot up. Our money opens a lot up because it's first April, and them hands don't feel so bad when them it's cold and you swinging them bats. I'm gonna tell you something. Worst thing, hardest thing to do is bunt when you see that ball coming in. It's cold, knowing you out there holding it like that. You picking to take a beating on your hands. But like I said, small ball's how to win it this time of year. And I mean, it looks like Abbeville and 96 are starting to do that a little bit. I think Greenwood in the past, one of the problems that coaches had over there is he's had the long ball hitters, and that's a good stadium to hit it out of. Greenwood Park's a really nice one. That wind's blowing just right. It's the perfect place to ride one out. But it's going to change. You're not going to be able to do that at Greenwood this year or at Emerald, I mean, because the winds are going to turn. So, great time of year, but like I said, if you're a coach this time of year, you believe in small ball because of the weather.
Well, I think the small ball, especially the bunting aspect of it, when they started going to the aluminum bats and all, it was so much harder for those kids to learn how to. But now the composite bats are getting – they're reacting more like a wooden bat. So now we've lost maybe one generation of bunters. Now we've got to find somebody that can actually teach the art of bunting. And it has to be taught. You can't just go up there and do it. And you see the guys that were taught the proper way. They can lay it down. They'll put it down third base. They'll put it down. It don't matter. You tell them where to go with it, and they'll put it. And, you know, some of these fields that these guys are playing on, we look at up at in Anderson, all those are turf fields. You know, you get Greenwood's got the grass infield, but, you know, you get Emerald's got a dirt infield. I mean, the ball's going to react differently, and you have to know how to do it, and you have to be taught how to the proper way to bunt.
Tom, let me tell you a story about Coach Singleton. I'm always dragging him about being what he does, but you know how I learned how to bunt? Greenwood softball team. I was having trouble seeing the ball get it, and you it's a whole different pitch when you send a girl with that softball pitch coming in there. Plus, it's coming a lot faster than you think it is. And you learn how to bunt a ball and when you're up there in that ladies softball field, man. So my compliments to the ladies because they taught me. And I used to be a fairly good bunter back in the day. But nowadays, you're seeing bunts. If a pitch is fast enough, it can get to the outfield. If you don't get it down, you know, get down on the ball right. But you're right, bunting is a new thing that's lost for this day and age. And I think if you're a coach and you got to get back out there and start at least implementing. I know Kingston's really starting to do that a little bit more. They're starting to bunt a little bit more to ball. And I might be Ray saying, listen, I do know something. I'm going to let you coach this team, but I do know something. I want to see a bit more small ball. But like I said, it's a lost art, but we're starting to see it come back a little bit with the high school teams.
You think it's probably the MLB that ended up with that because you've seen, you know, Acuna, 28 homers a year.
And kids watch that.
I mean, they want to be that.
Yeah. Mike Trout and all these, you know, go out and be yourself. Do something to make me proud of you. That's why you still the knuckles. And, I mean, they got their own way of doing things now. But I'll attribute it to that, all these games you play as a kid, you know, little PlayStation 5s and everything else. And, I mean, those are so graphically to life. I mean, that college football game is going to make you buy a PS5. I'll almost bet you. Almost bet you.
I don't know if I can give up my Xbox. We'll see.
They got it for the – you'll upgrade Xbox then because I'll have to.
And two now, though, you've got the technology that has gone into it. You see these computer-generated pitching machines now that only thing you got to do is punch in the team name and the pitcher's number, and boom, that machine is throwing – that pitch that player throws, mm-hmm. You know, so if you've got the resources, you're putting these guys at batting practice and they're actually hitting pitches that they're going to be seeing tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it makes a difference when you know where it's going to be. When you see it, you get to see it. But it's just crazy times. I mean, I'm like Chris. I love the art of the bunt. I love seeing people put it down. And I see some of them bunt, and I'm thinking, why are you doing that? Why are you going that way with it? You know, pay attention to what your infield's doing. And why are you going that? Third baseman's charging. First baseman's sitting way back down. The pitcher's falling all over the place. He's not going to get to it. Lay it down to first baseline.
Let's tell a lot of those guys, like you're talking about, a lot of times you ask a catcher to lay a bunt down even and they have no clue. Yeah. All they want to do is get it down, and sometimes they foul out. Sometimes they do, like you say, just hit it straight into the ground, catcher jumps up and throws them out. But I think it's hard that you need to teach your team and players, because I think the further you do go in advance to even college, and some of them get to go to minor leagues, and if you're lucky enough. And that right there is a good question for Coach Slack. When we get him on at Legion Ball and see how much pressure they put on those kids to learn how to bunt a ball in high school, that kind of thing. But I think it's art definitely should continue to be taught because it does put runners in scoring position and it advances players.
Yep.
Another art that they have forgot is, like, if you are on base, what base is the run to on a bunt? Mm-hmm. When do you take off? Do you stay there and wait to watch it stop in the grass and roll around, or do you need to be on the go from the bunt? Listen, as soon as you hear it hit that bat, I don't care if it's foul or not, man, you hope you're headed your way, the way you're supposed to go. So, like I said, those are lost arts, too, just base running in general. So, I've seen a couple college bone games that have happened with college baseball, bonehead base running, man. But, like I said, you know, like I said, that's one thing Coach Singleton did a good job with. He always taught the art of bunting to us. And I guess he knew I couldn't hit a ball out of the park. He said, I got to teach him how to bunt a ball, or else we're going to be messed up when it comes to his turn to bat in the ninth spot anyway. But, I see Jim still one of the best bunters probably around here. I know, man. Got speed to do it. But, yeah, those are two lost arts, Dan. You're right. I think bunting the ball and base running, proper base running techniques, those are ones that have to be implemented now. And I think that's one thing Coach Height, and they do at Greenwood really well, because we see them do it. We saw them doing it at Greenwood all the time. And like I said, that's another man that can tell you about it when he gets in here. But, like I said, it's not a hard thing to do, but it's a hard thing to teach if it hasn't been taught for a long period of time. So,
well, and a lot of batting coaches will tell you that if you can teach a kid to bunt, he'll automatically raise his batting average because it teaches him to see the ball, know where the ball is. Is it high? Is it low? Inside? Outside? And so he can adjust his swings accordingly, and it makes him a better – not that he's going to do it in a game, but – it makes him better swinging the bat.
All right, well, there are some other big games that did take place, and probably one that we haven't talked about or really put a lot of emphasis on, but we need to do that, and that is the Emerald women's soccer team. Do you realize they're undefeated right now
still,
in region play?
Still.
And what they did, as a matter of fact, to Union County this week, I mean, 7-0 in 40 minutes. It was, you know, the mercy rule that ended up coming into play. But they moved to 3-0 in region play right now. As far as their leading scorer, Casey Coates, does it again. She comes up with 4 goals all within the first 12 minutes.
What's that name again?
That would be
Casey Coates.
It's not JC.
JC Coates, I'm sorry.
Nobody in Troy ever gets that recognition. So. Oh, yeah, that's one of my neighbors, man. That's one of my neighbors.
Yeah, but she had 4 goals. Lily Alvera ended up with 2. Melissa Antonio got the other one in this one. But Melissa Antonio also 4 assists overall in this soccer game.
She also got that golf team going well over number 2. So, yeah, happy birthday to her mom, Sunny, today, too, by the way.
Yep. But looking forward to seeing what happens. Also, we haven't mentioned the JV team for the soccer team over there. They picked up a win over Union County 4-2. They moved to 2-1 in region play. As of right now, they had Priscilla Jackson had 2 goals, Selena Hernandez and Miriam Hernandez also ended up scoring goals. So
that time of year, man. I mean, like I said, it isn't just about baseball. It's about a little bit of everything.
But could you know, what was the last time the women Emerald soccer team ended up winning region? It's got to be close to around 2022.
Somewhere around there, okay. I would think, yeah. It's been a while. But, I mean, in 2 the other night when they played Union, we have to understand that game started in the dry but ended in the wet. Even though they didn't play but 40 minutes. I mean, I think the score of the game, sure, that predicated, okay, look, it's pouring down rain. Let's just get these girls out here. Let's call it. Both coaches agreed and go on about your business. But you hate to be in games like that, especially if you're the coach. You're trying everything in the world. You know you're the better team. And this is kind of like my son called me with in the halftime of the basketball game the other night. What is Coach Staley going to do at half? I mean, what does she do coming out in the second half? Do you keep your foot on the gas and really embarrass somebody? And that's what it is. And in soccer, 7-0's already an embarrassment. I mean, if they had played the second half, what would it have been? 14, 15, 20-0. You don't want to do that to another high school. I mean, what goes around comes around. And I've had more compliments and heard more coaches tell other coaches that I appreciate what you did. You realized you were a better team. You played us with 10 players instead of 11, or you made your guys have 5 consecutive passes, or they could only score with this foot, or they had to score on the head, or they had to bring the ball from one end of the field all the way to the other. It don't matter where you win possession, you had to go back to the goal line on the other end and bring it back up. You do everything you can to keep the score down, but at the same time, you can't tell those kids, don't take a shot. But you can put regulations on them to make them work on other things. But it's tough when you get in a game like that, especially and for the losing team, it's embarrassing, and it's tough on them. So
I'm all about what you're saying about sportsmanship, but I'm also one of those guys that, and we talked about it with the women's basketball team at Carolina this year, sometimes you can't let off the gas. I'm sorry.
No.
Sometimes you got to, those girls have got to continue to get their reps. And then same thing with ladies soccer, men's soccer. You got to get your reps. And I'm not saying you're going to beat somebody 25 to nothing, but, you know, there again, it's their job to stop you. If they can't do it, they can't do it. I apologize to them. But, yeah, I mean, I can't get my kid out of shape because I'm making him go up down the field, and he's got to go all the way back down to the end line and come all the way back out. And so I see what you're saying there. So compliments to what they're doing there. Yep. But if it's a meaningless game, sure, I'm okay with that. But if it's a reaching game or something, I'm sorry. But if it's Greenwood and Easley, you should bought your best players or else we're going to send you home 30 to nothing. And we'll get Chick-fil-A before you leave. But I apologize. But, I mean, you just can't let off the gas in a reaching game. That's all I'm saying. Or a match. Let's call it. It's a match in soccer. So.
All right. Well, let's talk about the golf match that they had. Up there at Atlanta. Yeah. Greenwood High goes out there. This is how impressive Greenwood High. We mentioned what they did in the tournament back on Monday last weekend. What they did this week, I think, is even more impressive because they ended up fourth out of, you know, 13, 14 teams that were there. But really, they ended up third overall because T.L. Hanna and Greenville ended up tying. And the difference between first place and fourth place is five shots. That's it. I mean, 301, T.L. Hanna, Greenville shot, and Nations Ford was third. Greenwood ends up at fourth. Nations Ford was 302, Greenwood at 306. I mean, that's how close this was. And these are some big-name golf teams that are going to be involved in all this. When you look at Malden and Wren and, T.L. Hanna, we know what they've had year in and year out as well. But, I mean, you throw Dorman in there, Christchurch. There's some good names in this.
Bring me in names of the ones I ain't playing for Greenwood and the rest of who are the medalists in this thing is what I want to know.
Well, I mean, and then you look at it from
I'm talking about my list. Jim's
you look at it from Coach Witt's standpoint, and he's looking at his players and said, if every one of y'all had made one more shot, just one, and it didn't have to be the putt that hit the cup. It might have been your tee shot. You know, it something that ended up in the rough when you – just keep it in the fairway. You know?
What's more impressive, I think, is you had all of your guys place in the 70s. All of them. Yeah. And it wasn't Cameron Addis, you know, this time around that was the leading scorer. It was Kendren Farmer. He shot 75. Josh Brown had a 76. Addis had a 77. Adam Knox had a 78. And Fisher ended up with a 79.
And those are going to get better. I'm telling you, as soon as the weather's going to be better. You know what? Hopefully, I took a shot at him the other day. I'm going to keep it again. I mean, once you get out of Snobs Glen, you're all right. And Anderson. But I'm telling you, the way they treat you up there, man, that's why it's got that name. But I'd much rather have played, what's the one up there going to a Clemson? There's three or four courses in there. It's a lot better than that one. So, like, evidently, T.L. Hanna's got something lined up.
Well, how about these courses?
Boscobel. Appreciate it. And the one up by Clemson, which is a great course, too.
How about these courses that Green was getting ready to play at? You look at True Blue Golf Club?
That's a new one for me. Where's it at?
I don't know. Traditional Golf Club?
Heard of that one.
And Caledonia Club, Golf and Fish Club. That's one I want to play.
There you go.
You can ride by a golf cart and just drag the fishing line.
You just go in there and look. Go in and get a cart and say, hey, I'm going out to the lake for a little while. That's what we used to do at Star Ford all the time.
Instead of sand traps, they got water traps.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a 54-hole Palmetto Championship against 48 other teams that Green was getting ready to go play.
This is more of a tournament type deal. Some pretty ones around here, Katichi, and gosh, there's some good courts around here.
I think they're in Pawleys Island.
Is that where they're
in? That area.
That makes sense, especially Caledonia. Yep. That makes sense.
All right. This time we always have where are the coaches at right now, according to the South Carolina High School League, with football season and May's just around the corner, so spring training coming up. We've got five still that are open as far as some of the jobs that are out there. You have Central Pageland, which we mentioned on Monday, that just opened up. You have Chesney still there easily with Jordan Dara stepping down but remaining to go ahead and still teach. You also got St. John's as the fifth one that is still open. The big news is that Louisville, who we had been saying, you know, for the last 2 days, you know, this was probably one of the better hires when you add Trent Usher in there. And the reason that name is so good is his dad was at Pageland Central for a number of years. If you remember Corey Miller, I got to see Corey Miller play against Sherall all 4 years that he was there. And let me just tell you, you know, what Coach Usher did with that young man and developing him from his freshman year to his senior year was awesome.
That's a win-win, like I told you. This time of year, if you still don't have a coach, you better have somebody on that staff that you trust to get you through this football season, because it's almost too late now to go out and get a new face to a new program, new school.
But they hired from within. I mean, he was the defensive coordinator.
And that's what you have to do.
They took it off of it. So.
Well, and look, today is Thursday, so Monday we'll have another one on that list. I tell you, I don't know what it is about going off podcast on a Thursday, but Monday, a coach over the weekend, either wife said, you just got to step down, take a break or something, man. And we always have it. Come Monday, we got to open it on my spot right there.
All right, so. I don't want to be in this town. I want to be in this town. So
and how you don't want to coach in Charleston's beyond me anyway.
Well, live in Charleston anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, if you coaching,
maybe they're not paying enough. That 100-something thousand a year is not enough to live in Charleston.
It could be the it could be what you're talking about there, but cost of living difference between wherever and there. But
All right. The only other thing I got is the portal here at high school level is going to affect Greenwood a little bit in this regard, because Greer's four-star running back, Ladarian Martin, he's going over to JL Mann. He's going to be the running back over there now.
Already so seeing it, man.
It's starting to add up. They're just replacing what they had.
I've already told you. My nephew has already transferred from Eastside to JL Mann.
Yeah, well, that's not all. They've got a couple wide receivers over there as well.
He's saying that he's going because of the academics. I mean, he's a 4-point-something kid, and they offer classes over there that he cannot get at Eastside. I mean, that's a known fact. So, just so happens that he plays pretty good linebacker. I still fussed at him.
I bet you.
I let him hold it. I thought, look, you know, you need to stay with your friends. You need to stay. These are the guys you've grown up with, you played with all your life. Why do you want to desert them now, you know, and go over there? Well, they offer this class and they offer that class. You know, you're a dang near 5-0 kid, you know.
We saw it last year, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
McCormick lost 2 to North Augusta, and Sterling Thurman lost probably 20 to North Augusta.
How many of these kids don't even show up in the classroom anymore because they're taking everything online? Online and go play
and
football
that's what
with
doing.
Your buddies.
But yet they can go to practice.
Yeah.
Down at that school, but they don't have to go to a class inside that school.
They don't have to step foot in the classroom.
All right. Well, Mr. Martin, by the way, he sat out 2 games last year due to injury. Still ended up with 1,580 yards. That's 9.3 per carry, 153.9 per game. They ended up with 17 touchdowns. Part of the main reason why Tennessee and Louisville are so strong in recruiting this kid.
But, you know, JL Mann's got that offensive line. They got a really good quarterback play up there. And, like I said, they were really good this year. To add a running back of that caliber, that's big right there.
Yeah. Number 5 football recruit in the state.
If
he can stay healthy.
Mr. Butler, Coach Butler, you got your hands full with that young man.
Keep him healthy.
We'll see how that turns out as the season gets underway. All right, we're in Howard's on Main in Uptown Greenwood. I have the special today, the twice-baked potato with a ribeye steak sandwich. It was to die for, and Howard even cooked it the way I like it, and that was medium rare.
There you go, man.
It was awesome.
You got it right. It's all about that twice-baked. I mean, I know the ribeye steak sandwich is awesome, but it's about that 2-beak.
Yep. Well, if you haven't been to Howard's on Main, they got a daily special every lunchtime, Monday through Friday. Not to mention, they've got some great entertainment that is going to be coming in here starting tonight at 7 o'clock and then tomorrow night as well, as far as that local focal going on.
You asked me who it was, and I couldn't remember, so you hit the page just like I do every day. And it gives you, I'm telling you, it tells you the special. And if you come in Howard's without the correct change, man, it's your fault because he tells you what he's charging you for every. Tell him, Howard, you do it all.
Yeah, but like, you can check out the Facebook page. Just go to Howard's on Main, and it'll have the listing of who's playing tonight and everything else.
I'm telling you, people look at that, too, because, like I said, I share it for Granger. And like I said, shoot, I'll look at mine. I'll have, like, 37 views just off of mine. I know Caroline does it. Granger does. Everybody that works in there probably puts it on their page, their personal page. But that's one thing right there that I think will be perfect for barbecue season for Howard, because it's going to give everybody playing everywhere. And, I mean, it's just – he doesn't just put – I mean, that's who he's got playing. That's who's playing all over here. It ain't just
that's
players.
Through, yeah, the entire – Yeah,
that's just everybody area. Else. I mean, because like I said, tonight I think Jake may be at Boone's or something tonight. If you want something.
Granger's at
in on Square. Yeah. Howard, he's not coming back in here because of that too, by the way. He's playing in on Square. He's out. So, but you know, they've done a lot of remodeling over there, so it's actually a pretty nice bar again over there.
Yeah, but by the way, B-Rad's going to be in here 4 o'clock for happy hour. That'll get underway. So,
come they out still got guys. The perfect bracket.
Oh, yeah. Their bracket, they haven't busted one as of yet. So,
I don't think he got peeled out until last week, anyways.
Monday morning.
My way. Jim Steele's here now. And like I told y'all, we did a podcast when it started, all his first 3 games. And I just took this right here and said, wham, just shut it off.
Just deleted the whole thing.
To just shut it down. Then I get over to the Gamecocks, let me down with the men's side. But, hey. It's what it is. I have no bracket, so I have no say for the Clemson. I'm glad you came in because I'm taking that approach. I mean, I picked Arizona to beat Baylor. I'm out. So, I mean, right. I do think Clemson can beat Arizona.
Before we get into that, we didn't make mention Sean Poppy is going to be the new women's basketball coach for the Clemson Tigers in that regard. Amanda Butler ended up being relieved of her duties. And they
you
went
still
out
want to bring that up to me. I lost my job as an analyst with Amanda Butler. So somebody better get her quick. Maybe she goes to Chattanooga. I'm going with you, Coach.
She might, but he comes from Chattanooga. Yeah. So 48-18 in 2 seasons to go along with it. He's been to the AA's a couple of times in that process as well. So, I mean, they found a good one, and he's kind of a local boy. Started out at Limestone.
Well,
so.
And you know, we joked about it. I said, what if Graham Neff takes that philosophy of Tanner and goes and gets a guy like a – because like I told you, man, there's so many great women's coaches, just like men coaches out there. Bob Ritchie's another one that I'm stunned, you know, that I mean, Kelsey's gone now to Louisville. But Bob Ritchie at Furman's another good one. But he just followed that same, I think, Tanner line, and he said, you know what? Southern Conference isn't bad. And he looked at Sean Poppy's record and how many times he had been to the big dance, and AB hadn't been taking him to it, and I think that's a great hire. I think it's a win-win for Clemson, and it's not going to cost you a whole lot of money. So that's a good deal for Lady Tigers. I don't know if you're going to see them back at Coach. Me and Coach Butler had a plan going in. I think this was the year.
Well, I sabotaged that because I wouldn't allow her phone calls to come to you anymore. So
we were working on a plan, Tom, I'm telling you. I'd already told her what to do. Go to Columbia. It's outside Dawn's place. And when Dawn made one of them girls mad, just say, come here for a minute. What year are you? Do you have eligibility left? What are we going to do about this thing? So, but that's the philosophy I would take, Jim. I mean, we have, what, maybe 1 or 2 leave Carolina? We had 2 last year. 1 went to Tennessee. If I was Amanda Butler, man, I'd be camping out at the bookstore across town doing something. And when that girl left out of practice mad, I'm telling you, that's one of them you throw the hook and reel it in and say, listen, we're at Clemson. We want to be a team that can beat them Gamecocks, and with you, we can. So just different.
Well, Amanda Butler a little credit as well. She had a pretty good team as far as recruiting-wise. And what she was doing recruiting-wise, it was getting better.
And as a coach, Tom, what you want to do is always leave it better than you found it. And I think she left it better than she found it. Poppy definitely has his work cut out for him. But he does have ties to South Carolina, which, you know, recruiting is the lifeblood of any program in college. And he's in the Limestone Hall of Fame. Coach Summit Furman made his way to Virginia Tech. And I think Clemson was actually interested in the Virginia Tech coach. And
Coach Brooks.
He ended up going to Kentucky.
Kentucky.
And I think the Virginia Tech coach recommended Poppy to Graham Neff at Clemson. But time will tell if it's a good hire, but he's definitely got his work cut out for him. And, you know what Dawn Staley's doing in Columbia. And you got to find a way to get some recruits in there. And that's a tough build at Clemson. But, he's young, energetic, and if anybody can do it, I think he deserves a chance.
Yep. Well, I think you said it right when he's got – ties to South Carolina and ties to South Carolina recruiting. And Dawn has proved it. They are quality players in this state. We just got to find a way to keep them at home. She's been able to keep them at home. And if he can come in, wiggle his way in, like Chris said, in the back door some kind of way, and get 1 or 2 of them, and don't let Dawn get every one of them.
That's right.
You know, all I need is 1, Coach. Give me just 1.
That's really all you got to focus on and try to get. I mean,
Coach,
what?
You got 15. Just give me 1.
He's got 2 players on that team that can come with him. And I wonder if he's not going to do that with the center that they got, because I think Ruby Whitehorn is a senior this year for Clemson. The one and only McDonald's All-American she ever had was Ruby Whitehorn. To her credit. I mean, we always joked about it. Has she ever had one? Yeah,
she had one. We knew she, and we said when she got that first one, okay, maybe this is a light to the future, so to speak. That she's been able to get one in. All right, let's see. We'll get another one in next year, you know, another one. And after a while, they start adding up, and all of a sudden, you got a team of 10 like they got now in Columbia.
Right.
It didn't. She didn't. She didn't follow up on it. She got the one, but she couldn't get the second one. And that's
she had three solid players, but you can't win a game. You're not winning games with three players. You got to have a team.
And if you're Poppy and Clemson, you don't want to gauge yourself by what Dawn Staley's doing. Let's be competitive in the ACC first, and the rest of it will take care of itself. But building blocks, one block at a time, and
start with the cornerstones and move
around.
That's right.
Well, he's got to win against Division One schools.
Yeah, he needs to be competitive in conference, in the ACC.
Amanda Butler could win all these others, but when it got to Division One games, I'd like to see what her record was against all in the time at Clemson, what her record was against other Division One schools, not just ACC schools, but some of the other out-of-conference schools that she scheduled that were Division One schools. What was her percentage of winning? It wasn't that great. I mean, it might have been 60%, but you're not going to win at that. You've got to increase that, and that's what we saw year in and year out. That wasn't getting any better.
Sure.
And, you know, I hate it for her, but she did the same thing at Florida. That's why Florida.
Well, she left Florida before they got it.
So.
But Poppy's going to be a lot of fun to watch. We'll have to see how it goes recruiting-wise.
Not energy is going to be big for them.
And now you're going from a female head coach to a male. What?
And the last male head coach had good success up there, Jim Davis.
Right.
And, could be a good move for the Tigers.
I think it will be. I'm hoping it will.
I'm glad you brought that back up, because I reached out to Coach Davis again to see what his – and this was before they had ended up hiring Poppy. But I'll do better. I'll get back to him this weekend, because he did reach back to me and say next time they play golf in town and that he'd get back in with us. Because you're right, Jim, that was a really good point to make. The last time was with Coach Davis, and then just talking to him and what he was able to do here. I mean, that gives you a lot of perspective on what Poppy's got on him. So.
All right. Well, South Carolina women have been impressive. We made mention on Monday that the first half they came out and just dominated over North Carolina, established it early that they wanted to win. They get the Indiana Hoosiers here to start the Sweet 16. Indiana had kind of the total opposite. They had 21 lead changes. They had 10 ties in the process of that game, and it ended up being just a marginal win for them in order to advance to the Sweet 16. Two contrasting styles of play in this one. Everybody knows what South Carolina's done and what's going to happen here, but you're going to have more than just one player end up stepping up for Indiana. They're going to have a bunch.
There you go. There's my three players right there. I'm still to the point. Now, I did take the field, but I took the Carolina winning on my one pool. But I'm always going to take the field over. And you missed the conversation, I'm glad you're here, because we can talk about it. I love this Gamecock team. I told you this year was a different coaching style for Coach. And I think she's done a really good job this year. My problem is letting off the gas, letting them back play, letting them off the gas, letting them play. Because when you get to the tournament, then it's time to play. And then you saw what happened against a really good LSU team. We had a fight, a hockey match broke out, and everything else. But for Indiana, it's three guys, or three gals. It's Mackenzie Holmes, averaging 20 a game with 7 rebounds a game. Sarah Scalia, 17, 4 rebounds a game. And Yarden Garizon, 12, 3, and 4. I mean, I go right down here, and I got 17 Gamecocks that have scored in double digits probably. But like you said, we're talking about a one game at a time. And if you're the Indiana coach, that's what they did against Oklahoma, one game at a time. And that's the way you're going to beat Carolina, is one game at a time. And I still think that that's going to be that one game that I'm going to look back on this whole season and say, PG, dag blame it. And I'm going to go into – I'm telling y'all, man, y'all joke, y'all laugh when I say I don't want to lose a game. I'm a Patriot, man. I went to a Super Bowl undefeated, and it is a hard season and pill to swallow. Now keep them EMTs out of here, all right. I don't need to stretch. I'm just getting animated. But I don't want to lose the game. But if there, I'm telling you, the past month we've been basically at home. We ain't had a road game. And it makes a difference when you're in your house and your fans are going crazy. 17,000?
16.
I like 17, but we're gonna add 20 more seats to that place. Yeah. But, I mean, I love the fact that we play at home, but it's been so long since we played at a different venture. And sooner or later, that you know, you come out and you have that slow start game like we did against LSU or we did against – well, we've blown anybody else out. North Carolina was just a flat. And I'm not saying that can't happen, Tom. I'm not saying that can't happen when we play against an Indiana team, but they do have players.
Well, bench players, that's going to be the thing.
And we that's saw what we don't, that's what
South
they
Carolina
don't have.
Had 51 bench points last week in moving on to the Sweet 16. Can Indiana match that bench points or even be close to it, or are they going to have their starters playing the 32, 35?
I mean, they have to. I mean, I hate to say it, but the starters are going to get there 30. Well, right now combined, they're like 32 and a half a game from the three starters that are putting these numbers up. So, no, I mean, I don't think that the defense is going to – bench points is going to bring you the points. But, I mean, how hard are we going to play defense at USC? I mean, you know how hard we play it.
Well, and that's the one thing I was going to say. We saw something against North Carolina Sunday we hadn't seen all year. Staley came out first, just full-court press.
Well, she ended the game
and,
early.
And she said, you know – She's going to emphasize, we're going to play defense because defense is going to get you those easy baskets. And to prove her point, she said, I'm going man-to-man from the go because I got 10 ball players. You ain't got but six. Your four or five that's used to playing 32 minutes, they used to play in 32 minutes, but not against a defense like I got. And
let's be
that's
honest.
What she did with North Carolina.
We can sit here and spin this as much as we like, but the talent gap in women's basketball is too great this year. Give me South Carolina against the field, especially in the nature and how they lost last year. This is a hungry veteran team with so much more talent than anyone they will see along the way. And go ahead and get ready for the parade in Columbia because it is going to happen. And I'd be shocked if they have a single-digit game along the way, at least to the maybe the final
to the final four.
Well, it didn't help that Miss Holmes provided a little billboard. Right.
LSU's the only team that's got a chance. And just because it's so hard to beat a team, you know, three, four times.
That's why we're glad Tennessee got beat by NC State.
Right, Tennessee's out of the way. The other day we had already played Tennessee three times. We didn't want to play them four.
But that loss last year to Iowa is going to get its mileage this year, and you'll get the return of investment there in the form of a national championship. Well, go ahead and mark it down. I guarantee.
I ain't marketing, buddy. I ain't guarantee.
South Carolina women.
And the one thing that we've talked about, and I mean you probably heard and talked about it too, is the officiating that, and Coach Staley came out and said it after the SEC tournament that she's tired of it. She's tired of – she knows, and she makes it a point of emphasis that we're going to be bigger than anybody we play. There's nobody that's got the number of bigs that we got. We're going to be bigger. But just because we're bigger don't mean them little guys don't foul us. They do, and it ain't being called.
Right.
You're going to start calling it because I'm going to be on your butt. And
especially after Iowa's and the LSU's, because they get labeled with a lot of stuff. That's why I'm not a Caitlin Clark fan. I mean, if you are, I apologize, but
I'm not. I'm not a women's basketball fan, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, I don't. I like it. I agree what you're saying about the parity.
Right.
I don't think, like, from a Cordoza to whoever Clemson's big lady is, I mean, there wasn't any kind of competition there. But, I mean, it's just not a lot of parity in the game. And like you say, that's why it comes down to two or three of these teams that really have a legitimate shot. But I go back to any given day, man. That's what your coach always tells you. Any given day now, this right here is the paper. You got to put your butt out there on the floor and bring that win home. I'm just saying, once you're away from Carolina, where you're getting everything in the fall, the fans are going crazy. They got, you know, confetti just dropping out way before it's supposed to, and it's laying on the floor. They got to sweep it out of the way. And I mean, it's just too much. That one loss hurts, man. I'm telling y'all.
But you trust your coach. You got Dawn Staley.
And she trusts your girls.
You trust your players, yep.
And I agree with it. I mean, I think she should be, like, fired up in, like, that way. I like Stan. I mean, I believe we can lose a game. You just said that you don't think we can stand. That any given day, you can lose a game. I mean, it could be Indiana. I'm telling you right now. All they got to do is have something happen big. And
all right. Answer me this. Full Wally, plus or minus 20?
I think this game, I'm going to go under. I'm going to go under it for this game. I think
Full Wally, plus or minus 20 points?
Under.
Against Indiana?
Yeah. I'm going to go under.
South Carolina will win by 20. Yes.
Oh, you said Full Wally.
Yeah, I said Full Wally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Full Wally will get 20.
You think she'll get 20?
Yeah.
I think she's
Is that
too
quick.
She's too quick.
How do you not know Malaysia Full?
I don't follow women's basketball.
She's too quick. I mean, she's too quick. She gets too many. She'll get four or five steals that'll end up being easy buckets.
Yeah, she goes on the bench, though. She's a bench girl. So, yeah, she might. I still say under because she doesn't want to start. She wants to earn her way back in there and get there and just try to score 20 real fast. Here's my thing I thought you were asking me. I thought you were asking me over under 20 for the total game. As far as
I'd say over.
I mean, I would probably say over two for the game, but I'm just saying it's that one game that you don't do it. I'm telling you, today's gonna be Kitz's game. I think Chloe's going on. She's ready to come out of her shell. Okay.
Well, Chloe hadn't missed but one shot in two ball games.
She's got to come out. I mean,
and she's become that mid range jump shot girl that
here's over under for Jim Steele. Ashlyn Watkin gets a dunk in this game. I think so.
Because
they're going to play defense on her.
Well,
and I think she can go by.
I did see one play in
and
that.
And she's one-handed slam, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw, and I think she came close to doing it in the North Carolina game.
But she backed off of it.
We had two or three shots at the goal, and she went up one-handed.
She backed off. She did.
And she tapped the ball. Where I thought she was going to go and just slam it on home.
Everybody thought it was a hook shot. I said, she's above the rim, buddy.
She's above the rim with
she's phenomenal to watch. I'm glad you said that about that, too, because we got a National Player of the Year, Gatorade Player of the Year from Camden, who will be on this team next year. So,
do you think Full Wally will get a dunk this game?
She wants it. And I mean,
they said in practice and in pregame, she was grabbing the rim the other day.
She took a half dollar off the back of the cylinder.
Are we in Storrs, Connecticut right now?
You know what, man?
I knew you were here for a reason, bro. Basketball.
Look, that's the reason. That's the team I got beating Carolina. It's Paige Biggers again because it's hard to beat a team three times.
Number one, South Carolina, taking on number four, Indiana. 5 o'clock tomorrow up there at MVP Arena in Albany, New York.
New York.
Come on, man. Where are you guys at?
It'll be on ESPN if you want to follow along. Of course, we'll those next two games we'll update you on
Monday.
You
don't have to because I can't get the Poor Letter Network.
All right.
Because I gave them the Poor Letter.
I might just have to come pick you up and bring you to my house.
You might. But I'm glad you said Storrs because I do think that's who wins the championship this year.
All right, well, let's move on to the Sweet 16 for the men. And, of course, it starts with the Clemson Tigers taking on Arizona. And 7:09 tip-off here on the East Coast. It'll be a 4:09 tip-off up there. It'll be on CBS. Arizona's 27-8, Clemson 23-11. But Clemson, everybody has said, Clemson not going to make it. They weren't going to get by New Mexico. They weren't going to get by Baylor. And not only that, they have come back and back in the form they were back in January, which is kind of nice to see. And what has happened is Chase Hunter has found some lanes. He's done some things. They found that third guard. They're going to need everybody, though, I think, against this Arizona team, Jim.
I think you're right. And, Tom, before we kind of delve into that, this is a special day, man. Long-time suffering Clemson fan in yourself and I. Mm-hmm. This is only our fifth time in program history that we've been to the Sweet 16. We're 1-3. 1980, we beat Lamar. 1990, we lost to UConn. Last second shot. Cliff Ellis had the boys that close to the Elite Eight. And then in 1997, we lost a double overtime game to Minnesota. Tubby Smith was their coach back then. And then in 2018, we lost to Kansas. So this is a historic day for us Clemson fans. I do like our chances, and I think it all centers around Chase Hunter. That's why there's so much excitement about this Clemson team, because they finally decided to play some defense. And you saw that in the first two rounds. They faced two really good teams in New Mexico and Baylor, who were perimeter-oriented, And they were some of the best shooting three-point teams in the country, and Clemson held them well below their season average. It's going to take that kind of effort tonight. I hate geographically where it is because I think it gives Arizona a little bit of an advantage being out on the West Coast.
Have a few more fans in the stands.
Well, not just that. It's just the travel and just getting out there. And but I'm excited. I'm excited to watch Clemson play, and I do think that Chase Hunter's going to have to play really well, P.J. Hall. It'll take a total team effort. But when you look at that bracket, you look at Clemson, Arizona, and then you look at North Carolina and Alabama, Clemson's already beaten the other two teams in that region. Now, North Carolina did beat Clemson once, but you got to like Clemson's chances if they can get past this hurdle tonight against Arizona.
Arizona, are they how similar are they to that Alabama team?
Oh, they're good. They're very athletic. They defend a lot better than the Alabama team. I think Nate Oates just wants to roll the ball out and tell them to go play.
But I think that's where Chase Hunter needs help.
Sure.
You know, he needs for Godfrey and some of these other cats that, you know, you need to have that one unknown come off the bench and score that 12 points.
Right.
Get 6 rebounds. Have 1 steal or 2 steals. Have 2 or 3 assists. You're not asking him to win the ball game, but you're asking him to take some of the pressure off Chase Hunter. You know Arizona is right now. We don't care about P.J. Hall. We'll let him step outside and take all the threes he wants because we're going to get the rebounds. Shefflin has got to rebound the ball.
Oh, and he will.
And he's got to put points on the board.
Right.
But they're going to be playing good defense. And you've got to have – Girardi has got to hit some threes.
That's the key.
And I don't think –
That's your key player.
He's not big enough. How do you say it, Chris? The Arizona defenders are going to be bigger than he is.
It's harder for him to get off his shot.
His shot.
Right.
And he's a spot-up shooter. If he can get his spot and the other players around him on the Clemson team see it and recognize it and can get him the ball quick enough, he can get the shot off. But – if they start trying to play a half-court offense with Arizona, it might be a long night.
That's what they're going to do. I'm telling you right now. I mean, here's what's killing me right now is because we talked about Chase Hunter right here, who's been my guy for the last month. But P.J. Hall's your guy. He's your man. He leads the team in scoring. You got to let that man get the ball. He's going to draw Caleb Love, probably the best, one of the better players in the country at the guard.
Transfer from North Carolina.
Yeah, transfer from UNC.
Who we've seen, who's close to seen.
You're good. That's why I say it's got to be Joseph Girard. I mean, I know I love Shefflin, man. That cat's like a little Nazi in there grabbing rebounds from everybody, just stealing stuff from everybody. I love him as a player, but you can't rely on his points. But the fire in Chase Hunter's eyes the other night, it's going to be there again. I just think somebody's got to take this other kid for them, man, named Braswell. He's averaging 10 a game, and one of the guards is going to step up to him. That may be Girardi that steps up for him, but you got a guy named Umar Balo. You ever seen this kid play? He banged Dante. He banged Dante from Oregon all season long and dominated Dante, and we saw
that's you got to get him in foul trouble some way or another because he's not going to come out from under the basket. He's going to be down
and that's
there.
Who's going to take him. That was my question for you, John. Who's going to take Balo?
It's got Godfrey. Godfrey's got to be the one that
you could him. Because height wise, Godfrey's decent size. I mean,
Clemson has some options defensively, but I think the thing that has Clemson fans excited, I think this time of the year it's easier to take. Clemson has more offense than they've had in the past. So it's easier to take an offensive team, make them more defensive in the tournament, which the tournament turns into a half-court defensive game, than it is to take a defensive team and ask to get more out of them offensively. Right. So with Clemson, what you've got this year is an offensive-minded team who can defend, and it's easier to say, hey, look, you got to flip the switch on defense. We know you can score. And I think Clemson will be able to score with Arizona. They'll have some options to defend inside. It's just a matter of, to me, I'm going back to Chase Hunter. Sometimes when Clemson has played really poorly throughout the course of the season, it's when he's hasn't shown the ability to level off the other guards, and, mm-hmm. and he gives up a lot of penetration. They get to the second level, and it forces help and rotations, those sorts of things. And I think if he can have really good on-ball defense tonight, and if he doesn't turn the ball over, Clemson doesn't turn it over, and they start getting guys like Gerard and Godfrey and some of those names y'all mentioned in there,
Wiggins,
they'll be fine. But you'll know early if Clemson can set the tone defensively, and that's what they're going to want to do. They're going to want a low 30-type halftime score. Now, if we're looking at a 45-35 score at halftime, Clemson's in trouble. But if you're looking at anything around, 32 to 28, that's the kind of game Clemson wants to play and slow it down against Arizona.
Well, I think Clemson's got to win the rebound game.
Absolutely.
Got to play, like you're saying, quality, man-in-your-face defense, and they've got to hit the three throws. When they get fouled, they got to hit the three throws.
Godfrey hit some big ones the other night, didn't he, Tom?
That's what I'm saying. He's okay, you did it one time for me. Can we do it again? And I understand Clemson, all the fans are just ecstatic with them being it. They should be. I mean, when was the last time he was here? It's been a few years.
2018.
Now. Right. So, it's time to go. Can you get past this hurdle? And does the ghost of past of playing double overtime games, losing games at the last second, does that
right.
creep back in on you? You've got to keep that out of you. And you got to play, and this is what Coach Taylor said in one of her interviews about losing ball games. We can't worry about the name on the jersey in front of us.
Right.
We got to take care of our jersey. We got to do our little things. We can't turn the ball over. We can't play right. poor defense. We can't think just because we up 23, we got this game won.
I'll say this, and then we can move on. I know you want to talk about some of the other games, but an interesting dynamic to think about. In L.A., you'll have North Carolina fans and Alabama fans waiting for their game behind Clemson, Arizona. Will the North Carolina fans get on Clemson's bandwagon? And you see this so often during their game and pull for the underdog. And that could be a big part of this ball game, especially if it gets close. Would Alabama and North Carolina kind of rally the troops for the Tigers, or will they pull against them?
Herbert Davis sure will, because he would much rather play y'all than he would play Arizona and Tommy Lloyd. But yeah. I like that dynamic you threw out there. I like it, man. I think PJ's your man. I think Gerard's going to have over 12. Because Chase is going to draw Caleb Love. I hate to say it, he's the only one athletically that can play with the guard. Caleb Love. I mean, he's the only one that can play with him. Girardi got the speed to play with him. But
in that other game, North Carolina, Alabama, we're talking probably 110 to 100 type outcome.
Well, North Carolina, I mean, they
but North Carolina like can play defense.
They will. They'll defend
North Carolina
better than Alabama.
Can play defense. Can Alabama dictate the pace of the game? Can they get up and down the court and score enough points?
Well, can they engage themselves defensively?
Right. And then, rebounds, that's going to be another big thing. They're such a small team.
Yeah.
Armando Bacot.
Who's going to stop? That's what I was going to say. Who's going to stop Bacot? I mean, Alabama, I don't think anybody has anybody that they can.
They're physical. Man, they beat you to death. And they're another one of them teams you better be ready to get jawed with an elbow or something. I mean, I don't like Nate Oaks as a coach after what he did last year with an ineligible player, in my opinion. But anyway, I don't have respect for Nate Oaks. I don't have respect for Alabama, but they will put 110 if they can. I just think, like I said, the matchup was better with College of Charleston as far as offense, because College of Charleston did put points up on that board.
Put 96 on them,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, but you got R.J. Davis. I think he's the key, one of the keys for North Carolina, the kid we never heard of that never played a regular season. He just pulled him off the bench from Singala, wherever it was.
And that may be what happens with Clemson tonight. You may find that Clemson brings somebody off the bench that – has been that role player, and all of a sudden this guy goes off and scores, picks up what Chase Hunter's not being able to do, because he is being closely guarded, because a lot of the defense that Arizona is, they're pressing PJ, or PJ gets in a little bit of foul trouble, gets It's going to be – can he get through the first half without picking up 3 5?
For me, in the Baylor game, we talked about Wiggins and we talked about Godfrey, but for me in the Baylor game is a kid I've never heard of, Clark.
Yeah, he's the North Carolina State transfer.
I mean, I never really heard of Clark at all, and then all of a sudden he came in big.
I'll say this real quickly about Jack Clark. He is a North Carolina State transfer, but he is considered with his wingspan and length on the perimeter. He is one of Clemson's best defenders, and he gives you a lot of versatility when it comes to putting him on, you know, a really good offensive player from the other team. But the West should be very entertaining. I picked Arizona from the opening week, from the original bracket. I had Arizona beating North Carolina in that bracket or in that region. And then in the East, they're paired up against the East, and you got UConn, who I think is primed to make a return back to the Final Four.
I do too.
They're playing San Diego State tonight, and one of the more underrated games, might be the best game tonight, is the Big Ten champion Illinois against the Big 12 champion Iowa State. Don't sleep on Iowa State. That's a really good basketball team.
Don't sleep on Illinois, by the way.
Illinois is good, too.
San Diego State's the one I'm thinking.
That should be a great game.
Brian Dutcher, man, what they did last year, that's the reason, like I said, when B-Ray got me thinking about head coaches at Clemson before all this.
Well, Jane Ledee is going to be the guy they got
to stop. Oh, Ledee is unreal. He's like no
kind. If they can't stop him, San Diego State's going to remain in this game.
And they're a good team. I mean, the defense, they're a great team, and they score real well. That's what makes that team tough.
How about that's a rematch of last year's championship?
It is. You're right.
In the Sweet 16.
And I wouldn't bet against Danny Hurley and UConn, though.
Yeah, Danny's UConn's just in there.
I picked them to win it all this year over Purdue. So we'll see how that goes.
The only one I got left for you, only out of my 75 misses on my bracket, Purdue is still there. So.
I think Hurley knows enough about defense, and he coaches enough, and he requires his team to play defense.
I think Ledee's too much for the one guy.
The little plug that he was.
I like Connecticut for a team, but I like Ledee as a man among boys, in my opinion. So we'll see. I'm telling you, man, these 16 games are going to be probably more exciting than the Final Four games. Because I'm telling you, they are going to be, you got some players that are really going to come out and show.
The Sweet 16 is always so much fun to watch. It seems like all the games go down to the very end.
Who would you have on the men's side, who would your upset be
From the Sweet 16 have it now?
Not right now, yeah.
As we have it now, well, originally I had the two that I mentioned. I had Arizona playing UConn beating them on that side. Then I had, I think it was Marquette, and I had them playing Purdue, and I had Purdue, UConn in the championship. But, you know, if you want to get really spicy with your upset pick, why not go with North Carolina State, a team that's won 7 in a row.
Coach Keats.
They're playing
and the fan favorite
Marquette.
Burns.
Yeah.
Again, you can win, Jim. And I mean, Shaka's done a great job.
It is a game. Yeah, Shaka Smart, the head coach at Marquette, who's been
DJ
at Texas.
DJ Burns is a monster.
VCU. But, I mean, that's a team that, you know, I don't know how they would get through Purdue. But, you know, a team that you can't overlook really is, and I don't like them, but they're playing really well, is Duke. And I think they got a really tough matchup with Houston tomorrow night.
But Houston did not impress me against Texas A&M, though.
You know what, though? Kelvin Sampson is probably one of the most underrated coaches in college basketball. He wins. He won in Oklahoma. He's won here at Houston. He had his guys right there last year. He's got them back this year.
Good team.
They will defend you, much like Rick Barnes in Tennessee. They defend you as soon as you get off the bus. And
A lot of people want to see Houston and UConn.
Well, what I like about Houston is the fact that they attack the basket. They don't just pass it around the perimeter. They go after you.
They play really hard. And you know, how about Tennessee-Creighton matchup tomorrow night? Tennessee, the only – you know,
Blue
I know Jays. I'm not really much of a conference affiliation person, but – you know, Tennessee, the lone survivor there in the SEC.
Well, you got Alabama still, too. Well, Tennessee, I think, Connect is and Ziegler. I mean, Connect hadn't gone off on a game yet. And so it's about time for him to chunk up about 35 and I mean, that's what's just going to happen.
But who do you guard against Creighton? That's the thing. Creighton doesn't have the superstar guard. But all of them shoot extremely well.
The Creighton-Baylor.
Oregon game was crazy.
It was a great game. And I do like Tennessee to prevail in that game. I just think defensively they're a little bit better than Creighton. And I don't see how that Tennessee-Houston matchup is going to be really good, I think.
I didn't take them up. Like I said, I don't have anybody.
Oh, I'm sorry, Purdue. They'll have to play Purdue.
Yeah, they'll get Purdue. And like I said, that's right. The only thing that'll stop Zach Edey is Zach Edey. The kid shoots, 78% from the line? And he gets fouled. He's on the line 20 times a game at least. And you're shooting almost 80% as a 7-2-4 kid, man. Come on.
All right, I think one of the big storylines in this year's tournament, two journeyman coaches in Matt Painter from Purdue and Rick Barnes.
Who needs this?
From Tennessee. Who does need this? Can one of them break through and win their first national championship?
Which one do you think it needs to be first? Barnes?
I think it needs to be Barnes.
I do too.
Barnes is.
But I don't think he's going to do it.
I don't either.
Barnes is getting close to retirement age.
Right.
I like Matt Painter.
And you can look at him and tell it's wearing on him.
And he's won everywhere. He's won everywhere. He needs that title.
But he can't get over that hump.
Right.
And that's what he's played in, one Final Four, I think. He made one, and that was with Texas.
You were talking about Kelvin Sampson. I don't like the guy just from the stuff he brings with him everywhere he goes. He's always got a team in trouble after he leaves generally. And that's the one thing I think Houston took a risk on him, but it's paying off financially, of course. But this tournament's ready to go. Get your popcorn, get your drinks ready.
Now we got one more game because this is the game that is going to probably be the tightest.
He found me another one.
It's going to be the tightest. That's number three, Illinois taking on number two, Iowa State. Line right now is at 1.5.
So it's a toss-up game, and that's what you want.
He likes Iowa.
This time of year.
I like Illinois, though. Give me the alumni.
I picked Illinois in my bracket, but we did a blind draw. We had eight of us pick two teams the other morning out of the 16 teams that were left, and my A team that I drew was Iowa State. So I'll be a big Cyclone fan tonight.
That's why you're pulling for them, man.
Iowa State – they're capable of winning this thing, but they'll have to beat Illinois and then turn around and beat a tough UConn team more than likely, and that's a tall ask.
I watched, what was it, the Big Ten championship that had Illinois and Wisconsin, wasn't it, for the championship?
Yes.
Greg Gard and then Illinois, and I'm going to tell you, it's just hard not to like this Illinois team. I mean, it really is kind of like Nebraska. I like Hoiberg. I mean, I think he's a great coach, but it should be a great game, 29-7, 26-8. So this is one of them. You can flip your coin, Jim. Or you can draw the hat like Jim still did. And he's probably going to draw a winner, guys. I'm telling you. He's probably going to draw a winner.
Well, my other team I drew was San Diego State.
That's a good draw there,
no,
bro.
It's not. They got you, UConn.
I think they can beat UConn. Hurley's got a really good team, but if one player can step up, that's the one player that can is Ladee. I think they can win that game.
All right, guys, we found out this morning Pat Kelsey from College of Charleston ended up going to Louisville. What he did with the Cougars was phenomenal, and he's got a couple of players, I think, that have entered the portal that will probably be going over there to Louisville along with him.
They come to Columbia,
baby. You want them to go to Columbia.
I want to come to Columbia.
I still don't understand that. I still don't know why he would want to go to Louisville. I mean, I understand moving up to a Division I school, but – that's a.
Wait, are we being serious?
I see administrative issues coming out of Louisville. You have coaches go in there, and within a couple of years, they're looking for a way out.
You've got to start over somewhere, and they've got some new administration that is up there in the process of all of this. So I know the fans up there, they wanted to wait till the big dance was over before they found somebody. And they wanted a big name. But Louisville is not a program right now that is deserving of a big name. I mean, when was the last time you heard anything from Louisville during the regular season? It's been 2-3 years.
This is a sad deal. This reminds me of trying to get a prom date. ask three coaches, and they turn you down, and you say, Pat Kelsey will not let me down. because he wants to be up at that division. That's how it was, man, for me. I am taking my cousin with me to the prom.
But let me give you 1.1 million reasons why Pat Kelsey wanted to go to Louisville, and that's what his contract is reportedly worth, $600,000 in base salary plus an additional $500,000. So over $1 million, and I'm sure he wasn't making that at the college.
If you
of
go back and look, he was.
He was, yeah.
He was making that much in.
He was at College of Charleston. What I tell you, the buyout was only $1 million.
Yeah.
But it was 5 years
for $5 million,
like $5.5 million. Yeah. So he was making over $1 million at College of Charleston. That's what I'm saying. I don't know that I would. I think I would have had to turn him. Be the other coach that turned him down. I think Brian Dutcher was the guy they were waiting on from San Diego State. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think he'll do good things for Louisville.
Well, I think if they'll leave him alone, let him do it.
Well, see, here's the difference. Now, Jim, you know about the administrative side of schools. You have a sports director and you have an assistant sports director. Which one's got more pull? To me, it would be the athletic director, excuse me, and sports assistant athletic director. The girl's the assistant athletic director, and the guy's the athletic director. Who's got more pull in the situation? Who did the hiring? Does it say who hired?
Well, the athletic director would do the hiring.
Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But what does an assistant athletic director do? Is that just somebody that helps with SI?
It just depends how they choose to delegate those responsibilities. Yeah. But
she's the reason they didn't want a football coach. I can tell you that. She was the reason their football season they were having trouble finding somebody.
All schools have committees that kind of – it's not like a one-person process. Of course, the AD is pretty much over that. But
Will you explain something to me?
All right. Anyway, it's a great hire for Pat.
So. I think so. I mean, like I said, he would have been a great hire here at Clemson if something had happened. So, I mean, he was a guy I had on a lot of lists, man. And
I just don't understand him leaving Charleston with the money that he was making.
Who's going to leave
Charleston? Have you driven down there? The roads are this big.
Well,
and the arena. I guess the arena would have something to do with it downtown.
Well, the arena's nice. You
know, it is nice inside,
and,
yeah.
And he's been there for, 3 years now?
You get the coach in the ACC, though.
He's a lot better than
the prestige of the ACC.
Just think about his moves. He's been at Winthrop, and then he goes to college. I'm going to tell you something. If you got any years of coaching left, I'd go to College of Charleston in a heartbeat. Even though there's three guys going either with him or to Carolina. Come on, boys.
They won't have a hard time finding.
No, especially if they already had offered this guy 5 years, $5 million. Whoever gets that job is already thinking $1 million in his mind right now. I think it's Jim Steele. I'm putting his name in right now.
I'd go for half of that.
Think Cliff Ellis moves back into that position?
No way.
Cliff done said he don't want to deal with NIL. He's out of there.
I think somebody at HSS is going to lose a really good assistant to that program, though. So we'll see.
All right, we'll find out. Well, Jim, thanks so much for coming in, joining us. We appreciate you talking a little Sweet 16 with us.
Thank you guys for having me. Good to see you guys.
And don't forget, man.
Y'all lost your razors, all except for Stan there.
Listen, me and John Daly got a deal. I'm not shaving that he wins his cancer battle. But like I said, if you don't forget, man, Jim, you got a podcast of your own, man. Go ahead and wink it for me real quick.
Coach's Chair, check us out. We're on Spotify and most places you can find your podcast.
And you're a pickleball director now, correct, for Greenwood?
Pickleball instructor. How about that?
So if you want,
reach out to me. I'm on Facebook. Give pickleball clinics every Saturday at the Civic Center. We got six new courts out there. And
how are they compared to pickleball courts that you played on? Because I know you used to play a championship.
They're good. We got to get some wind screens up, then we'll be good to go.
I was going
to
ask you about that because a lot of people are putting pickleball inside, like old grocery stores and stuff. I know Augusta's just done that.
Well, we play at our church.
I went to a tournament in Macon, played in an old refurbished belt department store, two level, 32 courts.
Macon, that's where it was, because you have pictures of it. It's pretty cool. But a sport I want to pick up, but I still got to get this thing right here clicking a little bit better than it's clicking. So then I'm going to be ready to try to find something else.
I also want to thank Howard Corley allowing us to come out here. Howard's on Main. Come by and see Clyde. He's going to be grilling up the wings tonight in the process of everything else.
B-Rad still got the
concert.
Only perfect board back there, I see. So he's the only smart one around here. He waits till they play them.
But he's smart because he's wearing that paw.
Hey, that's our guy at Clemson, man. We used to let you be the guy, but
he's no longer allowed to go to North Carolina, though. We banned him from going up to the Dean Dome in the process. But check us out. We'll be back on Monday. Enjoy the games, everybody. I'm Tom Carroll, Chris Cox, Coach Dan Spivey. We are the Lakeland Sports Guys. Have a great weekend.